seated. The title of this morning's message is The 11th Hour. The 11th Hour. The 11th Hour. You know, there are times when we become very impatient waiting for God. Isn't that true? You know, we don't feel that, I don't believe that God is going to do what He promised. We say we live by faith, but how long will we live by faith? You know, it's easy to say that we'll live by faith until the 11th hour. Then we get a little nervous, and we feel that we need to do something to help God do what He promised. You know, I want to show you the first king who God allowed to be in Israel and show you how being impatient and not waiting on the Lord can cause us to fail of what God has intended for us to do. In the scripture we read, we see the Philistines with 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand of the seashore coming against the children of Israel. The people of Israel became afraid. Many of them left their homes. They fled across the Jordan for fear of being overthrown. Many of them went up into the hill country, hid under rocks, hid in caves, hid anywhere they possibly could hide that the Philistines couldn't find them. The people of Israel became afraid, and many left what they were in and to find safety somewhere else. Now, Saul was a young king. He had only been on the throne for 2 years. He was just starting to build his kingdom. And yet, here is a tremendous army coming after him. Now, you have to realize that these Philistines, they were seasoned fighters. They were warriors. They had fought in battles before. These were no slouches to battle. And here we see that they're coming against Israel. But let's look what happened and why we need to continue to do what God has told us to do, even if we feel overwhelmed with what's happening. You know, I truly believe that being impatient is almost as bad as doing something that we shouldn't do. You know, I think that being patient many times is almost as much sin as other things are. But I want to look this morning at the 11th hour and what happened in the 11th hour. Well, we're going to start with number one is this. Saul was told to do something. Turn your Bibles, if you're in 1 Samuel, go back to chapter 10 and verse 8. Now, Samuel told Saul to do something. And this is what he told him to do in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 8. It says, "And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do." Now, he was to wait and not do anything for 7 days while Samuel was gone. Easy instruction, right? After all, what did Samuel tell him? He says, "I want you to go down to Gilgal. I want you to stay there for 7 days. I want you to be there for 7 days. And I will come to you on the seventh day." Remember that. It's important. He was told to do something. You know, when we're told to do something, we need to do what God has told us to do. You know, Saul was given really good instructions of what needed to be done. You know, I believe that the people were getting a little restless. I believe that the children of Israel were getting a little bit uncomfortable seeing all of these Philistines completely surrounding them. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have got a little nervous. If all of a sudden, here is 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and warriors without number spread across the valley in front of me. Now, if I was just a common person, not a warrior, I would have said to myself, you know what? We haven't got a chance. And that's exactly what the people did. They said, you know, we have not got a chance against this army. Now, I remember another story that was given of a guy by the name of Gideon. Remember the story of Gideon? God said, okay, he says, I want you to get the children of Israel together, and we're going to go to war against the Midianites. He says, okay, fine. So he gets all the men of war together, and God says, you have too many. Now, if you remember what it said, that the Midian army had 50,000 camels. They had warriors beyond number. Now, Israel only had 5,000 going against that. Now, he comes to him and God says, you've got too many people. Tell anybody who's afraid to go home. So he did. That knocked him down to 2,000. 3,000 went home. He says, you know what, you still got too many. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have a little problem with this. I realize God is a great God, and God can do anything but fail, right? We sang about that. But, he says, you've got too many. Take them down to the creek, have them lap, and whoever drinks like I want them to, those are the ones I want. So how many did he have? 300 left. You're close. You're close. You're in a different story. You're in a different story. But you're okay. He had 300 left. Now, I don't know about you, but 300 going against an army of innumerable soldiers, I'm going, there is no way in human comprehension that this can work. None. After all, 300 going against an innumerable number, I mean, they've got more camels than I do people. But you know, Saul was given some good instructions, but I believe the people were getting a little bit nervous, to say the least. Saul was put in charge of the people, and it was up to him to make the decisions of what needed to be done. Now, believe it or not, Saul obeyed Samuel. Look at verse 8 in chapter 13. It says, and he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. Now, how long was he there? 7 days. Saul did what he was told to do, correct? He was there for 7 days. Samuel says, you go to Gilgal, you stay there for 7 days, and I will come at the appointed time. So here he is. He sat back. He waited 1 day. He waited 2 days. He waited 3 days. He waited 4 days. He's getting a little nervous. He waited 5 days. He's getting real, real nervous. He waited 6 days. He's getting really anxious. And he waited the 7th day. You know, I can see the people now saying, some leader we have, he's afraid to make a decision on his own. You know, he did nothing for 7 days other than just wait for Samuel. He obeyed what he was told to do. His instruction was to wait for 7 days, and that's exactly what he did. He had faith that the man of God would come back at what he felt was the appointed time. And he knew that he would pray for deliverance. But you know what? He became faithless. Saul became faithless. Look at verses 8 and 9 of that of chapter 13. It says, and he tarried 7 days according to the set time of that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and a peace offering. And he offered the burnt offerings. Now, here we see that he became faithless. Why did he become faithless? Now just think about this for a minute. How many people were against him? Innumerable. As the sand of the seashore. What's happening to his army? It's getting less and less and less. Not by the day, but by the hour. People are leaving in the throngs to get out of the way because they were afraid the Philistines were going to attack at any time. Saul knew how many people that he had for his army, and he also knew how many the Philistines had for their army, and there was no comparison between the two. He had waited 7 days, just like Samuel had told him to do. It's now coming to the end of the day. It is almost time for the evening sacrifice. The sun is starting to set. According to Jewish law, the evening sacrifice had to be made before the sun set. Saul's getting nervous. Saul is in the 11th hour. He is to a point where he doesn't know exactly what's going on. So you know what he does? He uses human reasoning. How many have ever used human reasoning before? Instead of divine reasoning, we use human reasoning. Well, that's exactly what Saul did. Saul is saying to himself, well, you know what? Something could have happened to Samuel. He's not here. I've waited 7 days and he never showed up. The people are getting really upset at me. Where is he? Oh, wait a minute. The Philistines maybe captured him on his way back. And they're holding him captive. Or, you know what? Samuel might have had a heart attack coming back, and he's dead. Maybe he died in those 7 days somewhere, and he'll never come back. That's using some good human reasoning, isn't it? And I think a lot of us in this room, including the preacher, might think along those lines. After all, it's getting close to the end of the day. The sun is setting. It's time for the evening sacrifice. Samuel said he'd be back in 7 days. He's not here! Right? Saul's using some human reasoning here. And I think all of us have been in that part for that way. It was the 7th hour. Samuel wasn't there. Not done anything to make the situation any better yet. But Saul became faithless and felt he was the one who needed to do something, anything, to remedy the situation. His faith in the man of God had dwindled down to a point he no longer had faith that he would do what he promised. Boy, you know what? That happens a lot sometimes, doesn't it? People get discouraged and disgruntled over things that people have said that they would do and don't carry through in the time period that they feel it should have been done. And I think all of us are that way sometimes, that we don't feel that things are going the way we want them to go in the time period that we want them done in. You know, in essence, what Saul was saying was that God did not do what he promised he would do. He is not going to take care of us. The man of God never showed up. We're going to have to do something. But you know, when things like this happen, many times our human reasoning gets us to sin. It gets us to sin. Look at verse 9, the last part of verse 9 there again. It says, and he offered the burnt offerings. Who offered the burnt offerings? Saul, not Samuel. Saul did. Saul was not a priest and had no right, none, zero, to give the evening offerings. All Saul was just a common person, just as you and I are. And though he was made king, it did not give him any right whatsoever to offer the burnt offerings. It was only to be done by the priest. And who was the priest in those days? Samuel. Saul, because of his faithless state, not only disobeyed Samuel, but he also disobeyed God by not doing what the Mosaic law said. After all, they were living under the law. They weren't living under grace at that time, right? The law said it had to be a Levite who did the burnt offerings. Saul was not a Levite. What we need to realize is this. Even though he had good intentions, and even though time was running out, Saul, because of his faithfulness, not only disobeyed Samuel, but he disobeyed God in what he did. You know, all of us from time to time become faithless, and we feel the preacher's not moving fast enough in certain areas, or we feel God is moving too slowly, and we get in our head that we need to help God out. Have you ever been there? Done that? I have. Being the preacher, believe me, it happens a lot. You know, preachers, believe it or not, are no greater than people in the pews. You know, I'm a man of faith. However, there are times when I feel God is moving too slow. Amen? There's times in our lives when we feel like God isn't moving fast enough. And we have to what? Help him along. Right? After all, God needs our help. Right? Huh? Well, most everybody sure feels he does. You know, after all, God's not capable of doing everything himself. This is a big world, right? And we feel that we're God's child. We're born again, blood-washed believers, and we need to help God out. That's just what Saul did. Saul said, you know what? Samuel's not here. It's the 11th hour. It's pulling up to the 12th hour. I'm going to have to do something. Nobody's here to do the evening sacrifices. Bring me the sacrifices and I'll do them myself. Boy, You know, that can be a real, real bad mistake when we try to do what God said He would do. And when we try to get ahead of God, doing the things of God, even though we have good intention to do things, you know, I think of David moving the Ark of the Covenant. What happened? He put it on a new cart, just like the Philistines did when they moved it. The same way. What happened? It started tipping off. Uriah held his hand up and he died. You know, it's never right to do wrong to do right, is it? Now, Saul, believe it or not, is trying to do the right thing, but he's doing it the wrong way. It was Samuel. He was the only one that should have done the evening sacrifices. But yet Saul was going to help him out. Everybody needs a little help now and then, right? That's what Saul thought. But you know, God supplied in verse 10. Look at verse 10. It says, "And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering of the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him." You know, it was as soon. I love this verse. I do. I just love it. I mean, how soon was it after he got done? Look at what it says. It says, "And it came to pass that as soon as he made an end of the offering." Wow. That fast. All of a sudden, he got done with the evening offering. Saul got done with the evening offering. He looked up, and look who was coming. The guy that was supposed to do the evening offerings. Oh, wait a minute. The sun isn't down yet. The 11th hour may have come, but it didn't go yet. The 11th hour was still there. The sun's not down yet. There is a lot of time for the evening offering yet. And here comes Samuel. Samuel said that he would wait, that he should wait 7 days. Samuel said that he would do the sacrifices himself. All Saul had to do was to wait, and it would have been taken care of. You know, have you ever been praying that God would give you something and you get impatient or faithless, that God will supply what you're asking for, and then you go and you buy it yourself, and then a couple days later all of a sudden something shows up like that? I can tell you thousands of times around here that that happens. When all of a sudden we need something, a tire for the van, whatever, and all of a sudden we go out and we buy one because we need it, and the next day, guess what? One shows up. And God just stands there and says, "Na na 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 na, I told you, you should have waited." Right? Isn't that the way it is? So many times, we don't wait long enough for God to answer our prayers. You know, I look at my life and the ministry here and look at the things that God just has supplied out of nowhere. You know, I've used this illustration many times. One Wednesday night when we were over on Pinnell Parkway, Brother Ken Lucas came up to me, and he was the treasurer at the time. He says, "Pastor, we're in a world of hurt." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "The rent's due tomorrow." I said, "Well, how much we got?" He says, $200. Rent was $2,000. I'm going, "Yeah?" He says, "What are we going to do?" Well, I said, let's go in prayer meeting. Let's pray about it. Maybe God will give it to us tonight. We went into prayer meeting. We got down on our knees. We prayed earnestly that God would take and supply the rent. We took an offering that night after prayer meeting because I figured, you know, after praying about it, God would lay it on the hearts of the people to take and give extra. You know what I mean? Isn't that the way God is? Huh? Brother Ken counted the money that night. Guess what we had in it? $64.25. Well, we were at $264.25. He says, Pastor, we're a little short. I said, really? I said, God will supply. We went out and we were sitting in the apartment next to us that we had also that we rented, and this truck pulls in, and this guy gets out, and I went out to see him, and he says, my wife and I came on to some money, and we would like to take and give some of it to the church. He had never been in our church, ever. Never once had they ever been to a service in our church. He says, you're doing a good work here. I said, okay. He wrote a check out. I folded it up, put it in my pocket, never looked at it. Shook his hand, told him thank you. He left. I walked in. I handed the check to Brother Ken. I said, here's the money for the rent. He said, how much is it? I said, I don't know. I said, I was afraid to look at it. He opened it up. It was a check for $3,000. Hey, listen, it was the 11th hour. We had to have the money the next morning. We waited till the 11th hour. God supplied. I could tell you time and time and time and time and time again. I think of the stuccoing on the outside of this building. It was the 11th hour, and within one day, all of the money, $15,000, came in to pay for the stuccoing of the building. When we did the carpeting in here, when we did the remodeling in here, we needed $5,000 to do it. It all came in when we needed it. The 11th hour. You know, if Saul would have waited through the 11th hour and would not have done the sacrificing himself, he would have been a whole lot better. You know, God will supply what we need. All we need to do is have faith that it's going to happen. That's all we got to do is have faith that it's going to happen. If Saul would have had faith that God would supply Samuel in the time appointed, he would not have had to suffer the way he did. You know, there's always consequences for impatient faith. Look at verses 13 and 14 of that same chapter. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel. What's the last two words there? Forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be the captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Do you know, I believe totally, 100%, that if Saul would not have done what he did, there would still today be a leader in Israel of the house of Saul. What did Samuel say? If you would have obeyed the command of God, you would have a kingdom for what? Forever. Samuel chewed Saul out in verse 13. You're foolish for doing what you did. even though you had good intentions, you're a fool for disobeying what you were told to do. If you would have listened, everything would have worked out for you. God would have established your kingdom forever. Your sons would sit upon the throne for all time. All you needed to do was listen, obey, and wait. Wow. Here we see that His kingdom was going to be given to someone else. The Lord had someone else already in mind to take over Saul's kingdom. We know through history that that was David. You know, when we have impatient faith, we don't wait through the 11th hour, and we do not wait on the Lord like He tells us to. We're going to be chastised by God. Even maybe take us out of the way and put someone else into our place that has more faith in what we do. How sad it is when Christians feel that they can do things better than God can. God can do anything. God can do anything but fail. So many times we feel that God is going to fail at what He said He would do. You know how it's hard for all of us to have patience and wait on the Lord. And He'll supply what we need, even if it takes us through the 11th hour. God does not always work on our time schedule. Did you know that? God's time schedule and ours is not always the same. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, it's amazing. You know, I think of Brother Kevin. When I was doing this message, I was thinking of him. Yesterday, he got a phone call. He starts work tomorrow. Why is he starting work tomorrow and not 2 weeks ago? Because I had a lot of work here that needed to get done in the last 2 weeks, and God knew that. And he's been here working, getting all that done. God says, okay, you know what? It's the 11th hour now. You've been faithful to what I wanted you to do. Now I'm going to be faithful to you. You may not get exactly what you want, but you're going to get what I want you to have. Amen? We need to understand that we just need to wait on the Lord. Wait for Him to take and give us the directions we need. And He's going to. He's going to tell us what to do and when to do it and how to do it. And you know, if we wait on Him, I guarantee it's going to be done right. And it's going to be done in His timing. But do you get impatient waiting for the Lord? Is it difficult to patiently wait on the Lord? Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, wait on the Lord. Wow, what a verse. We need to take and wait on the Lord, and He will direct our path. I would think of Proverbs 2:8-9. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. You know, if we would only wait through the 11th hour, because the 11th hour comes to every one of us, and we get impatient, and we think, oh God, where are you? It's coming to the end. And yet He's always there. He's always faithful to take care of our every need. Let's pray. Father,